وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. As always for making dua for us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight the 13th para was recited in Taraweeh, and we're having the 12th Taraweeh. So inshallah al-aziz, we will continue with the story of Hazrat Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam and the lessons that we learned from it, which are mentioned in this para and which continues on from the previous para as well. So one great beauty found in this narrative is that in it the whole map is drawn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his adversaries with regards to their present and future conditions. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a victim of jealousy by his Qurayshi brothers. They plotted to kill him, just as Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers plotted to kill him. So he had to leave Makkah Mukarrama. For 3 days he had to hide in the cave of Thor. From there he migrated to Medina Munawwara, just like how Yusuf alayhi salam was in the well, and then from there he had migrated to a distant land. There slowly he continued progressing until he became the leader of the first Islamic state in Medina Munawwara. When Makkah Mukarrama was conquered, then his Qurayshi brothers were ashamed, just like Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers. So they had to lower themselves in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whether this was coincidental or intentional, at this juncture, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I say to you what my brother Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Go, you are free. There is no blame upon you." So the incident of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is so famous that even the children of Muslim families know it by heart. Therefore, there is no need to go into detail. So briefly, we will mention it, placing special attention on the lessons and advices to be taken from this incident. Since Surah Yusuf comes in both the 12th and 13th para, and this narrative is mentioned in sequence, we will mention the crux of this story, keeping the sequence in place. Then we, inshallah, will give some advices and lessons. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons. From among them, Yusuf alayhi salam was exceptionally handsome. Due to the beauty of his character and his looks, his honorable father had intense love for him. Another reason for his love for him and his brother Binyamin was that they were the youngest and their mother had already passed away. So to love one's young children is part of the nature of human beings. So Hazrat Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anha's daughter was asked, "From all your children, who do you love the most?" So she answered, "The little ones until they get big, the absent one until he returns, and the sick one until he regains his health. So due to this love, his brothers became jealous. They took Yusuf alayhi salam into the jungle, telling their father that they were going out to play. They threw him in a well. A caravan passed there. To get water, they lowered a bucket into the well. Yusuf alayhi salam then climbed out of the well. So these travelers took him to Egypt and sold him for a meager price. The minister of Egypt bought him and kept him in his house. When he grew up, the minister's wife became infatuated with him. She invited him to commit evil. He rejected his invitation. So the minister, to save his name from disgrace, placed Yusuf alayhi salam in jail. In jail, he continued his call towards the oneness of Allah, Tawheed. due to which the prisoners respected him. Due to correctly interpreting the dream of the king of the time, he became esteemed in the king's eyes. So he made Yusuf alayhi salam the independent minister of his treasury, business, and kingdom. So due to the drought in Egypt and surrounding areas, his brothers came to Egypt to get food, and after a few meetings, he informed them that he was their brother, Yusuf alayhi salam. Then his parents also came to Egypt, and they all began residing there. Now we'll see what are the lessons derived from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Some of the messages that come to us and what we can learn are as follows. A difficulty becomes a means of attaining a bounty of comfort sometimes. And the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam commenced with great problems for him. He was thrown into a well and was left there without any assistance. He was then sold in the slave market of Egypt. He had to face the trials and tribulations of women. For many years, he was locked in jail. He was imprisoned. However, in the end, he became the leader of Egypt and attained respect and honor in both worldly and religious spheres. Jealousy is an extremely dreadful sickness. Like the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had jealousy for him. If this sickness is found in one's blood brothers, then it can have pitiful consequences. Good character, beautiful qualities, and good upbringing shows its colors. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was nurtured and brought up at the hands of a great Nabi who hailed from a family of Anbiya. He had attained a huge portion of his forefathers' moral inheritance. Due to his ideal upbringing and perfection in character, he stood bravely in the face of great difficulties and trials, and due to this, the era of ease came after difficulty, and true honor came after the apparent problems that he had faced. Chastity, trustworthiness, and steadfastness are the roots of all goodness for men as well as women. So those who remain firm on deen will definitely attain respect and honor one day. No matter how much the reality and truth is hidden, eventually it will become apparent. The intermingling of men and women, as well as being together in solitude, is a great cause of mischief. If Zulaikha was not in solitude with Yusuf alayhi salam, she would not have tried to make evil advances. Therefore, Islam has rendered it haram, impermissible for a man and woman to be alone in solitude. In Tirmidhi and Nasai Sharif, the following hadith is narrated, when a man and a woman are in solitude, then the third person there is shaitan. By believing in Allah Ta'ala and having firmness in belief, it becomes easy to bear difficulties and save oneself from moral and spiritual impurities. Number 7, a Muslim should only turn towards Allah Ta'ala at the time of every difficulty and problems. When the wife of the minister of Egypt threatened to throw Yusuf alayhi salam in jail if he did not comply with her in evil, he called out to his Allah, giving preference to difficulty over sin. He said, O my Rabb, the jail is more beloved to me than what these women of Egypt are inviting me towards. It is mentioned regarding some awliya, friends of Allah, that when they were consoled regarding any problems or any sickness, then they would say, Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah. Then they would say that I am involved in difficulty and not in sin. So they were willing to bear the difficulty, but not sin. Allahu Akbar. A true da'i, an inviter, is not negligent of his duty of inviting towards deen. Even in the most difficult and trying of times, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, even in jail, did not lose the opportunity of da'wat and tabligh, inviting and propagating and reformation. So those who came to ask him for the interpretation of the dreams were first given the da'wat of tawhid before he interpreted their dreams. It has been mentioned that the prisoners of the jail were affected by his da'wah and accepted Islam together with the king of Egypt. So in general, every Muslim, and especially leaders and da'is, the inviters to deen, should make great effort to keep themselves free from any form of defamation of character. When Yusuf alayhi salam was freed after remaining many years in jail, then he refused to step out of jail until an announcement and acknowledgement of his innocence and chastity was not made. It should not happen tomorrow that someone remarks, Allah protect, that you were a criminal but were freed due to the mercy of someone or because you were felt sorry for. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam displayed his innocence. From this incident, one gets conviction of the virtues of patience and its beautiful results. From the darkness of the well till the solitude of the jail, and from the minister of Egypt's house till he forgave his brothers, at every opportunity, Yusuf alayhi salam held steadfast unto patience. So the result of this patience is clear for one and all to see. There is no doubt that patience is the key to the doors of ease and bounties. It is half of Iman and an important means of drawing the help and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. By studying this narrative, many testimonies to the chastity and innocence of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam came forth. The first testimony is of Allah, the Rabb, the Master of the Universe. The second is that of Shaitan, who took an oath in front of Allah and said, "By the oath of your honor, I will mislead all of them except your chosen, your sincere servants." What doubt is there that Yusuf alayhi salam was not a chosen one? So thus to deviate him from the straight path was not possible according to the statement of Shaitan. Then the third testimony is of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam himself. As mentioned before, he said, "O my Rabb, the jail is more beloved to me than what these women of Egypt are inviting me towards." And the fourth testimony is that of the wife of the minister of Egypt, when she clearly stated, "Now the truth has become manifest. I made an effort to seduce him, and he was from the truthful." And the fifth testimony is from a family member of the minister of Egypt who said, "If the kurta is torn from the front, then she is truthful, and he is from the liars, Allah forbid. And if the kurta is torn from the back, then she is lying, and he is from the truthful. When the shirt was seen, it was torn from the back." And the sixth testimony is from the women of Egypt who cut their fingers. In testifying to the purity of his actions, they said, "We do not know of any evil in him." By all these testimonies, the innocence of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is conclusively proven. Now, if any person with a black heart ascribes evil to him, then there can be no bigger ignorant person and a fool than him. The 12th advice we learn from this incident is that if Allah Ta'ala decides to afflict anyone with difficulty, then none can avert his decision. And if he decides goodness and respect for anyone, then none can stop him. Then Surah Ra'd was also read in Taraweeh tonight. And it's worthy of note that whichever surahs begin with the huruf muqatta'at, in other words, letters of which the meanings we do not understand, like Alif Lam, Mim, etc., then generally mention of the Qur'an-i Kareem is made thereafter. This gives credence to the view that these huruf are brought to challenge those opposed to the Qur'an-i Majid who regard it as a human effort. And then some important points mentioned in the surah is the proofs of Allah's existence and oneness are mentioned at the beginning of the surah. Then resurrection and recompense on the day of judgment has been also proven. And Allah Ta'ala has appointed such angels who protect us by the command of Allah Ta'ala. A basic principle has been mentioned that if Allah Ta'ala deals with any people in a certain way, then he does not change his manner of dealing with them as long as they do not change their condition. So Allah Ta'ala says that Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change themselves. When these people make themselves worthy of problems and difficulties instead of bounties and ease, then they should leave these means of disgrace and choose the means of honor and respect to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then falsehood and the people of falsehood have been likened to the foam of a flood which outwardly covers everything, but eventually dries up and disappears. And the people of taqwa and truly intelligent people are distinguished by 8 qualities that are mentioned in this particular surah here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, "Alladhina yufuna bi'ahdi Allahi wa la yanquduna al-mithaq," that they fulfill the pact they made with Allah ta'ala and do not break it. "Walladhina yasiluna ma amara Allahu bihi an yusala wa yakhshawna rabbahum wa yakhafuna su' al-hisab." And there's a few ayats that follow it. They enjoy ties with those family members whom Allah has commanded to join ties with. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they fear their Rabb. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear an evil reckoning. They are patient and steadfast in seeking the pleasure of Allah. They perform salah correctly. They spend the wealth which Allah Ta'ala has granted them secretly and openly. They answer evil with goodness. And in contrast to them are three clear qualities of unfortunate people. They break pacts made with Allah. They break off ties with those people whom Allah has commanded to join. And they spread mischief on earth. And then we have Surah Ibrahim that was also recited in the Taraweeh tonight. And also the three fundamental beliefs, that is Tawheed, Risalat, Prophethood, are mentioned here in matters of the hereafter, rebuking of the disbelievers and a warning of Jahannam for them, whereas Jannah has been promised for the believers. So this is covered in this particular surah. The Mushrikeen were of this opinion that a messenger, a Rasul, cannot be a human being. So the Anbiya answered, we are definitely humans. For a human to be a Rasul is not impossible. A Rasul is one whom, upon whom revelation descends, and revelation descends upon us. The demand of Allah's wisdom is that a Nabi be sent to humans in the form of a human. If angels were living on earth, then an angel would have been sent as a messenger. And a great cause for the Mushrikeen being deprived of guidance was their blind following of their forefathers. They were not prepared to leave their forefathers' ways, and the Quran in many places has refuted this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system and promises that He grants those who make shukr, who appreciate, wala in shakartum la azidannakum, give them much more. And for the ungrateful ones, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is severe. And the reality of shukr is that man acknowledges the kindness of that being who grants it to him, praises him, and uses that bounty for the purpose for which it was given. And then, of course, the words of truth and iman have been likened to a pure tree, and the words of falsehood and misguidance to an impure, evil tree. When kalima tayyiba, pure words, enters the heart truly, then its roots are very strong and fruits are very sweet. However, an evil word has no stability and does not produce any fruit or benefit. And in the final ruku of Surah Ibrahim, a scene of Qiyamah is presented, and mention is made of the severe punishment of the grave. So alhamdulillah, much to learn from the surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.